From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 540, DevOps for Mainframes, with guests David Rizzo and Rosalind Radcliffe. Recorded Saturday, June 3rd, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I have two guests with me today, and we're here in London at the DevOps Enterprise Summit, and we're talking to Rosalind Radcliffe. She's an IBM Distinguished Engineer responsible for DevOps for Enterprise Systems and focused on client transformation and adoption in DevOps practices. Hi, Rosalind.
Hello.
And let me introduce your cohort here, David Rizzo, the Vice President of Product Development in CompuWare. And boy, he's got a bio on him, holy man. But a mainframe evangelist, I like that line, sir. That's a good one.
Thank you.
So we are talking S360s here when you say mainframe?
Well, it's now Z13s or Z-Next.
Wait, there's new hardware coming? This is not just old hardware?
It's the most modern platform on the planet.
Is that so? What makes it modern?
The system itself, the hardware, the way it's designed. Every number of years, we come out with a new generation that improves the capability of the system.
Yeah.
With new sets of instructions, et cetera, so that you can do more, faster, better, cheaper.
That's impressive. And I have had the experience working in an organization as a contractor where IBM has come in on a set of hardware, and while we were using it, swapped out a set of processors. Like, nobody went down. Maybe it was a little slower for a moment or something, but it's just the idea that, you know, we're talking serious compute here. It can do a lot. It's incredibly capable.
Well, from a mainframe perspective, there are systems that have been up for 20 years.
Right.
Hardware has swapped out underneath it. LPARs have, you know, the system is totally different, but from a perspective of a running system, it looks like it's been up for
never,
the last 20 years.
Never been up. Then this is not just your grandfather's axe where you place the head and the handle. It was never down the whole time.
Never down. VisaNet is one of them that never been down.
Never been down.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is something to be said about that. At the same time, do you struggle finding people for this kind of gear these days?
Well,
David says yes. This is going to be fun.
We don't necessarily struggle to find people. We struggle to make people aware that it's not their grandfather's technology.
Right.
So when you say mainframe to a 20-year-old...
They say COBOL back, if they can remember how to spell it.
They don't even know. Their mainframe, it's like the devil to them.
Sure.
So it's really educating them. But we found, at CompuWare, for 5 years, we have been reinvigorating our workforce, and we've been bringing in new college graduates every college semester. We've been bringing in new graduates. We're up to about 25% of our staff is less than 5 years out of college.
Nice.
And we experience a very low turnover rate because once they get in and start using the technology, they enjoy it.
It's a good job.
It's a good job, yeah. And they can do things, and there's the computing power and the intricacies that you do on a mainframe and in the enterprise technology world that you don't do writing websites or creating games.
Sure.
As interesting as those sound to college students when they get in and they really want to do some real computing and programming, they get on there. And once they get into the technology, they realize that it's great technology and they want to stay with it.
Now, are these mainframes that CompuWare uses itself or that they provide as services to their customers?
CompuWare provides software.
Right.
So it is in writing that software on the mainframe.
Right. So you guys are producing software today for customers, for mainframes. Get over your legacy mindset. This is a thriving marketplace.
This is a thriving marketplace, and our motto is to modernize the mainframe and make it available. So we make modern tools and modern IDEs like Eclipse that interact with the mainframe. So we connect the modern technology to the mainframe, and then we have tooling on the mainframe so that you can improve your applications and run the technology in an efficient way.
And you said Eclipse, so I'm going to ask you, is that Java running on the mainframe? Is that what we're talking about? Managed memory environments on the mainframe. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was sacrilege in there somewhere, but not for me.
No, Java's been on the mainframe for a very long time. Right. And as a matter of fact, in the latest releases of Kix, Liberty, the app server, is literally running inside Kix. So not only do you have Java on the mainframe, you can literally have the Kix transaction processing system that people are used to on the mainframe and have Java right in the middle of it.
Nice.
So, yes.
So you're maintaining that a traditional workflow or experienced workflow that is Kix, but still able to take a Java programmer on board and have them contribute to it.
Absolutely. The mainframe, I mean, the reason why I always hesitate about getting skills on the mainframe is that the problem is not people and it's not the mainframe technologies. It's really the fact that a lot of companies are still doing development the same way they did it 30 years ago when I started in the industry.
Sure.
So many places, literally, they're still using ISPF. They don't use modern tools. They don't use modern capabilities. And why would you want to work in that kind of environment?
Sure, absolutely. If you started out 30 years ago, you're still being able to leverage the skills you've had all that time. But bringing new people in?
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. That's why modern tools are required. And that's why there are a number of companies, including IBM, CompuWare, that provide a set of modern capability so that you don't see the difference of the mainframe other than it's a really big, good server sitting in the back end.
Right.
And we're spending a lot of time to get all the open source tools there too. So if you have a DevOps pipeline that's entirely open source, fine. You can run that on the mainframe too.
You're going to mix DevOps and mainframes together? Well, that was your talk here at DOES. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting idea. Do we have to frame what we mean when we say DevOps in any way if we're going to talk about the mainframe context?
No.
It's the same whether it's platform agnostic. And that's really, right. You know, as Rosalind said, that we're all working, or many of us are working, to get tooling that works and looks exactly the same no matter what platform. Mm-hmm. Whether you're connecting to a cloud server, a server sitting in your data center, and whether that server's an x86 server or a mainframe server, it shouldn't matter to the person who's writing the application.
Right.
They should take advantage of the services and the technology is best for what they're doing. There's not one right technology for every application and everything you're doing. So you take advantage of what is the best and use that. And if we make that available to them in all the same way, then we provide them the ability to make that decision and make the right decision.
Now, if the code's going to execute on a mainframe anyway, we probably don't have several mainframes gathered up that we're stepping from a development environment to a QA environment to a production environment. It's all the same machine, isn't it?
It could be. Or you can run ZOS on Intel Linux.
Right.
So we have Z Systems development and test environments, which literally allows you to run ZOS on Intel Linux. So I can literally have a dev environment to my team dedicated. They can do what they need to do and then promote it into the next level and then promote it in the next level.
Right.
And so from the standpoint of the way we do development on the distributed side, using a cloud development test environment, I can literally do exactly the same thing for mainframe.
Are there mainframes in the cloud? Can you basically use a public compute model or a utility compute model against that kind of hardware or that kind of operating system?
Yes and no.
Should you?
Yes and no. Yes, there are in a sense because there are managed services for it.
Right.
And yes, we have a beta version of ZOS sitting in Bluemix.
Nice.
So we really do want ZOS hosted as a development test environment in our cloud environment so that you can do that. We also have clients who are running ZD&T in their cloud, both public cloud and private cloud. So that happens all the time. And if you look at blockchain, the secure container blockchain is actually running in a cloud hosted environment on Z hardware for the secure container. So yes, you'll see more and more Z as a cloud.
C as a cloud. Well, and containers on the mainframe?
Yes.
So, I mean, again, when you talk about sort of these modern DevOps patterns, it's this kind of encapsulation of code.
So, depending on Z runs Linux on Z as well as TPF. So, there are multiple operating systems. When you're running in a Linux environment, then obviously Docker containers and all of those other things apply.
Pretty straightforward, yeah.
And when it's ZOS, we actually have the beginnings of a Docker-like capability in Qix, well, AuthorZOS, to allow you to do Docker-like containers that you can then provision using Docker, basically Docker commands into ZOS as well.
Interesting. And so all those things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
How is ZOS different when it's running on the mainframe? Like what does the container look like when it gets there, or your code look like? Is it just faster?
So the containers, if we're talking about Linux on Z, the Linux on Z can scale bigger.
Right.
So that's the advantage for Linux on Z. The systems, you can just scale way up. And you're using Linux on Z as well in the environment to scale up.
Right. So less scale out. If we get down to the bare issues here, right? The Intel architecture, which is limiting how much memory we have available to us, limited on how our communication buses works. You know, they've been tweaking a pattern that's 30 years old, 40 years old. So have you avoided a lot of those issues? You just can throw more memory at the problem?
Right.
That's the strength.
That's the strength. And there's no comparison between, you know, one Intel box and one Z box.
It's not the same critters.
It is just not the same. Yeah. And so you can scale very rapidly, very quickly, and very easily. And where you see Intel boxes being connected together to get that, you have one box. So, of course, you reduce latency and, you know, it's much more efficient and you're not transmitting anything over a wire. It's all. So
there's a very core philosophical difference here that I think people have forgotten there are options in. You know, we've been living in such a strong Intel world for so long with those constraints. And so scale out has been the solution for a long time to build highly reliable, scale-upable hardware that just kept scaling up and scaling up and scaling up. And you simply don't have the same issues.
Right. And we have that hardware. And we've always had that hardware.
Right.
We just need to take advantage of it. And that's, you know, part of getting, as we talk about making the mainframe mainstream, it's not only in the tooling, but in the technology and making people realize that you can use it. And it is more efficient. It is more secure. And it is, we've proven out that it is actually less expensive to run on a mainframe than running the number of Intel servers that you would need to, for that capability.
Your typical clusters of servers that normally appear in a reliable solution. Like if you're trying to get to the same concept of reliability and scalability, you're going to build a fairly hefty PC-based architecture system compared to what a Z-based architecture system would look like.
Well, and you also have to spend a lot more effort on your application when you're thinking about running on unreliable systems, because you have to spend the effort to build the reliability into the system rather than on a reliable system. You can make the assumption the machine's going to be there.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that part.
Right. I don't have to compensate there.
Yeah. And so there's some differences, but fundamentally, if we make the development and operations, in a sense, the deployment aspects identical, whether or not you're deploying to Z or distributed, then it doesn't matter. I can build my app and then I can deploy it to the platform for production that makes the most sense.
Interesting. Yeah. So you have all the choice in the world. I mean, there's no reason you couldn't just deploy to Z on Linux running on commodity PC architectured hardware. I could see a moment where an architect or an infrastructure person would say, are we prepared to do what it takes to scale out now? Or is there another way? And I don't know that people are having that conversation all that often.
It would be nice to see that conversation come about more often, because, you know, that's one of the things that they always talk about. You know, like say scaling out, and there's not that conversation. They're not even making the comparison, and to at least have the conversation, because as studies have proved, as we look at it, like I say, it'll be more efficient and more effective to use the mainframe and one single piece of hardware.
Let's keep scaling up and scaling up and scaling up till you're hitting workloads that you're in that rarefied atmosphere. Is fast enough.
If you look at a lot of companies, especially in retail, they need the ability to grow effectively at certain times and don't really need that capacity at other times. And that's why they look at cloud scale out.
Right.
But if you look at a Z system instead and just turn off the processors, then you've got them right there and you just turn them on. Turn them on when you need them. I mean, that's not an Intel concept at all.
No.
But literally, the machines are fully loaded with these things, and I can just turn on a bunch of processors because it's Cyber Monday.
Right, because you've got that additional load going on. Mm-hmm.
And those are the things we take for granted, like the U.S. stock market, the stock exchange. There are days where it scales and volume, you know, double, there's massive swings, all the markets around the world, but they're run on mainframes, and the Z hardware just scales to what you need it to do. So no one realizes that it's just there. Right. When it goes up and it goes down, it's there to handle whatever capacity it needs to. So that gives you that flexibility.
And they have paid for this stuff, right? Like this is just a cost center. You buy the gear, only turn it on if you need it.
Sometimes you don't pay for it, sort of. You only pay for it when you run it.
Well, that's another aspect of cloud, of utility computing, right? Only pay for what you use.
Yes. And machines are always fully loaded, and then there are options about what you're going to turn on and what you're not going to turn on. So there are lots of different choices depending on how you've set up your machine, what kind of resources are you using, what operating system are you using. But there are all sorts of choices that people come out with to allow them to do that dynamic scaling.
Interesting. Folks, give me one second here to pay the bills. Because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. And one of the leading projects, called Already, focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time. Humanitarian Toolbox is deploying this application in the field right now in 2017, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. Humanitarian Toolbox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity. And we're here in London at the DevOps Enterprise Summit. I'm talking to David and Rosalyn and getting educated on mainframes again, because this sounds like a whole lot more fun than you think when you immediately think everybody else that I talked to is talking about how they're going to move off the mainframe. This is part of a normal DevOps practice. Do you find you're coming into organizations that are considering those moves, and as they study this, they realize they don't need to or they don't want to, that their practices work more effectively with the mainframe in the center of it?
I think a lot of companies have spent billions trying to move off, and they've discovered they can't.
Right.
And so if you can't, what do you need to do instead? Or there are companies that actually never spent the money to try to move off. They recognize that the system was the right system in the first place.
Right.
But they can't afford to go at the speed that the mainframe's gone at.
Mm-hmm.
They've built up processes over the years. They're using not modern practices. You just can't do that. So they need to figure out a way to go at today's speed, and that means DevOps.
Right. Meaning a DevOps practice doesn't mean changing your infrastructure.
No.
This is
it does mean changing to modern tools.
Right.
You can't just use ISPF. You can't use a library management system. You need a real SCM. You need a real deployment tool that can deploy across platform. You need some of these things that allow you to do the transformation. You also need automated testing, which I think is actually the one most mainframers are
That's the hardest thing, is to get testing in, and especially automated testing. But that's the attraction to the other platforms, is the tooling that's available to them. And they show that you can do deployments, you can do automated testing, you can do unit testing, you can do all these things that are very attractive and give you that sense of reliability when moving applications to production.
Right.
And making those tools and making those same capabilities available to mainframe technology is what allows it to become mainstream, and it will allow it to become a reasonable choice, because the choices at many companies is they just simply don't have options when they look at the mainframe. That has changed over the last 5 years, where, you know, many companies like Compuware, IBM, and others are creating this modern tooling, and it integrates with those distributed tools as well. So you can use things that you're familiar with, like Jenkins, like Sonar. You can integrate it in with your mainframe tools. You can go to one place, it all looks the same, so you're not speaking two different languages, and you're not looking like it's something totally different.
And is a lot of this tooling living in the IBM Linux version, you only actually flip to the mainframe at the end? Or am I running this in the mainframe context?
So from our perspective, it depends. There are servers that you can choose where you want to run the server for.
Right.
But from the standpoint of the actual tooling, things like you need Git running on ZOS in order to use it as the way to pull the source and do your builds, etc. So Git now runs on ZOS.
Right.
So you can use Git. You can use modern tools. Jenkins has an agent that runs on ZOS. We're working to make sure these tools run natively on ZOS so that you can do whatever is appropriate for you. And you're going to choose a tool chain that's appropriate for your organization. And there are multiple vendors that provide multiple tool chains. From a ZOS perspective, what we're trying to make sure is that if your tool chain works in the distributed space, it should also work in the ZOS space.
Right. It's interesting. It just means it's all the same stuff, really. Just have a different kind of architecture for the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll scale differently.
And if we do our job correctly from the end user that's programming,
mm-hmm.
they won't notice a difference.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter to them at all. Except for this aspect of, you know, how much code are you writing that tolerates, that deals with failures in infrastructure as opposed to failures of data?
Yeah. And the other difference right now is what language are you using? So sometimes you're writing in COBOL and sometimes you're writing in Java. Though Java runs on ZOS too, so you can do that. But languages such as Node ported to ZOS, so you can run Node there, whether or not you take your choice, where do you want to run it? Or Swift, we're working on Swift for ZOS. Mm-hmm. And so if Swift is your language of choice, you can run your production on Swift. Well, once we get it there, we're working on it. I think it's in beta right now. But modern languages.
Well, if you've got Node running, then it's JavaScript, actually, you've got running. What, any particular engine that anybody would know of that's running on the mainframe?
Well, so it's standard Node's been ported.
Right.
We just port.
Right.
That's literally what's happening. Things are just being ported.
Being ported across. So that's Google's V8 engine, if I remember correctly, for JavaScript. Mm. Technical details.
Yeah, I don't actually remember because I'm not working in that area.
Yeah, nor should it matter, right? Yep. I mean, if the language is implemented, the language is implemented. The devs can do what they need to do. We just have to maintain it and operate it.
That's right.
I guess the instrumentation's got to be interesting. How do you measure a mainframe? What do those measurements look like? Is this application specific or is it platform specific?
So it depends. A lot of the work that we're doing now is to plug into standard tooling that's being used across the other spectrums. Mm-hmm. But on Z, that is one of the differences because we have, from a ZOS standpoint, instrumented the machine a whole lot more than a lot of other machines are instrumented. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot more detail about how things actually run on the box. And then we want to feed that into tools that are more normal.
Sure. Or more traditional in the PC infrastructure.
More normal to the distributed side.
Right.
So that we have the common data provider. So we can feed data into Splunk or feed data into so that it's not different. You just have more.
Right.
You have a lot more.
Because normally you look at intercepts. You know, if you're running in Java, you have the JVM to intercept method calls to, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going through a web interface, you can certainly do proxy intercepts on HTTP calls. Like there are ways to
run. Right. All of those run on Z using the same tooling that you would use on another platform.
Right. So we'll get that. It's just that in addition to that,
you'll get a lot more about the workload, how it relates to other workload running on the system because they're always shared systems.
And we do things within our tooling. All of our data now we're moving towards feeding it to your SIEM engine. So you can, if you have your Splunk in your enterprise, you can just take the mainframe data that comes out, whether it be about faults or performance or security, it can all go into your SIEM tool, and then it can be used to give you measurements and correlate your data the way you want to. So that's one of the things we've had a big push on over the last year is to get more of our data pushed out that way that it's available.
So it's available in the tools you're already familiar with when it comes to instrumentation. And I think about folks that are here, it's the Dynatraces and the New Relics, but they're much more focused on app-level instrumentation from a managed memory model. I don't know that it applies to you guys. You don't need those tools that way.
Well, in a sense, you do because you still have an application and you still need to look at application performance management. So we have a set of tooling with application performance management that can then feed other tools so that you can see the end-to-end picture because it's critical to do that.
Yeah, we actually have a tool that integrates with Dynatrace.
Mm-hmm.
So it can do application performance from the mainframe to the distributed side.
Right.
And when Dynatrace has something, that application that spans different platforms, if it identifies something on the mainframe, it can actually call into CompuWare tools to get performance data from the mainframe and have those integrations. So those are things where you do have to have application performance on the mainframe.
Sure.
And you have to be able to integrate it with those applications that cross over to determine and help in those situations, whose fault is it? Because there's always, when there's a problem, there's always the blame.
Right, right.
It's always the platform that's not my responsibility. That's
right. And the one that I can't see into particularly well, it's probably in there as well. Anytime I can give a black box excuse, it's a good excuse.
Exactly. And Yeah, we've tried to make those tools available so you avoid that black box scenario.
Sure, you can get instrumentation. I got to think that the hybrid model where some parts of the app are running in a distributed system and some parts running the app make a lot of sense. I got to imagine the mainframe does very well on the transaction processing side, the common workload side. And then if you might want to put a web front in front of it where the web server is actually running distributed, or a mobile solution with similar context, that kind of thing. Am I crazy?
No, nope. That's exactly right.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's why we have things like ZOS Connect that allow you to easily create a REST service on your existing COBOL application.
Right.
And so you can expose the function. It's now a service. And now anything, any application anywhere can access that function.
Interesting.
And there are lots of companies who are exposing these kinds of services into API managers. And then now it's available either internally only or even externally.
Mm-hmm.
You would be maybe surprised at the number of APIs that are publicly available that actually in the back are probably Z services running.
Right there. Like, you're not putting another machine between. Interesting.
No. Nope. No, you look at, well, you talked about banking applications.
Sure.
The reality is when you check your bank balance on your mobile phone, you are initiating a transaction on Z. There's no question about it, and there's an API that's getting that data back.
And now, is there a service on the back end that's calling to the Z part, or is the service on the back end the Z part, and the mobile app's just talking to the mainframe?
It depends on the company.
Sure.
But logically, more and more companies are going to, it's just a mainframe call.
Right.
Because it's a REST-based interface now, so why put an extra hop in?
Sure.
Yeah, there's no need.
You're already speaking the protocol.
Yep.
Given that all the security rules are in place, you can't argue with the uptime.
Yeah. Nope.
You know? The internet's going to fail before the machine does.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to get an answer back. Hopefully, you'll be there to get it.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not going to be us anyway. It might be you. No, it's an interesting way to think. And Roslyn, I also get the sense you have this discussion fairly often, that folks are presuming that the mainframe is archaic and we're just trying to migrate out. And it's like IBM's been sitting still for the past 30 years.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been sitting still. And yes, that's what I spend my time doing. I spend my time with clients, helping them understand that they can transform and that the tools and capabilities are there and that they just need to.
Right. But odds are they're several generations behind in the tooling and the parts that they're using in their existing infrastructure.
Most customers are still using library managers from the 1970s, if I'm being nice.
19's enough, right? I mean, we are in the 21st century, so we are talking the previous century.
Yes. And those systems were not designed for modern agile development.
No.
They weren't designed for, and most of those systems have been there forever. And I mean, IBM has one, other vendors have them. They're all, they worked for their time.
Sure. They were the best that were available at the time. Stuff does proceed. And you have different cultures now.
Yes.
So I got to think, you know, we always see it presented as the people, the process, and then the products. But I think the perception that there's a lack of product just stops everyone from doing anything else. You're telling me the product's not the issue.
Product's not the issue.
Get on with your people and your processes and the products will come.
Well, the products are there. So there are multiple people providing capability to allow you to have a modern tool set on your Z development platform. And there's no reason not to do it now.
Right.
When I talk to companies and go out and present to them about what we've done and what they should be doing, it is always in the order set. It's people. That's your biggest challenge.
Right. The culture.
That culture and getting them on board. Defining your process and getting that set.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, the tools are all there and there's multiple tools.
Right. So once you understand you need to do testing and you want that testing to be automated, it's not a showstopper.
Yes.
Right. There's the product.
Right. The tools are there and then you're going to have the decision. Let's go look at the tools and let's find the one that's best for us.
It makes sense for the way we work. But boy, you could in some organizations be talking about changing some practices for people that have not changed in quite a while.
30 years.
Yeah.
Some that have been around longer than some of us.
I deal with that all the time. I wrote my first line of code in 77. And more I look around the room, it's like, yep, not born yet. Okay.
Yeah, we have developers at CompuWare that look at the code and we keep our logs of what we've done and they'll say, this code was changed before I was born.
Right. That's the last time it had a revision to it. Do you think they wrote any tests around it? I'm betting no. It's just a guess.
No automated testing back Well, actually, it's very interesting from my perspective. When I started in IBM 30 years ago in ISPF, we had a full automated regression bucket.
Right.
Sometime between then and now, people forgot.
She stopped using it.
They just stopped doing things like automated testing. And I don't know what caused it. I really don't. I don't understand it. But we could do it then. We can still do it.
Right.
And there are more and more tools that people can find to do automated testing. And on the Z platform in particular, if we think about these transactions, they're mostly services.
Sure.
I can put a service interface on the front, and I can use any service interface testing tool to run across it, and I can run code coverage, and there I'm done. I've got a set of tests.
It doesn't need to be on Z. It could be on any piece of hardware, really. It's just, they're just tests.
Yep.
There's nothing magical there.
Yep.
It's very interesting, mm-hmm. and certainly not something I've had to think about in quite a while, but it's exciting, too. There's a whole other set of conversations out there. Well, it sounds like it's been a good show for you guys so far. And thanks so much for spending a half hour with me. I think it'll sort of light people up to, if you've got this problem, there isn't only one way out of it.
Yes, there are multiple choices.
Many choices. Rosalind, mm-hmm. David, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.